From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. For the first time in 20 years, Sacramento County has the opportunity to elect a new district attorney. Three candidates are competing to succeed Jan Scully, who is retiring. The DA's race has been playing out in forums and debates, in interviews, mailers, endorsements, all those neighborhood visits, and a lot of money. The candidates collectively have raised nearly $1.2 million so far. In alphabetical order, they are Deputy Attorney General for the State of California, Maggie Krell, former Sacramento County and Federal Prosecutor Todd Laris, and Sacramento County Deputy District Attorney Anne Marie Schubert. Throughout this hour, I'm going to speak one-on-one with each of the three candidates. They drew straws to determine the order, and in the studio now with me first is Todd Laris. Hi, welcome to Insight.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So you've been in the interesting situation of being able to align yourself either for or against Anne Marie Schubert or Maggie Krell. But you have a $33,000 campaign chest, Todd, and you jumped in late. Yeah. So how much of an underdog can one candidate be?
I think probably I may have set a new record for being an underdog. It's been a very interesting journey in that sense. I got in late for some family reasons. My mother was terminally ill and passed away, and I'm the only one of the three who had to leave a job in order to run. I was required by the Hatch Act to leave my job as a federal prosecutor. So I've made a pretty significant sacrifice. The actual sacrifice is much more than the money that's been raised to this point, but it's been worth it.
You were playing your life by ear and taking care of your mom up until July of last summer.
That's correct.
Do I understand that your name isn't even going to be in the voter guide?
No, my name is in the voter guide, but what occurred is I didn't have the sufficient funds. It's $11,000 to do a candidate statement, and that's a very important thing, but we had to prioritize. Obviously, when that's a third of your budget, it's huge.
Mm. So you spent 13 years with Sacramento County under Jan Scully, another 5 years at the U.S. Attorney's Office.
That's correct.
And now you're in private practice. So I'd like to know where justice and fairness is most flawed in the county system, in your view.
I think it's at the lowest levels, which is where I've been emphasizing. Most defense attorneys that I've talked to over the years have no problem with the DA's office prioritizing homicides, rapes, child molest cases, the cases that, quite frankly, I focused on in my 13 years and that I still think are the most important. Where the system really falls apart is at the lowest levels with the drug offenders, the first-time offenders, and those are the people who are most affected by realignment. So that was one of the primary reasons why I thought it was important to get in the race. Because I recognize from having seen it on both ends as a public defender more than 20 years ago, and now occasionally handling criminal cases, it's not my emphasis, but I'm there. There's a tremendous unfairness in how low-level and first-time offenders are treated. It's all across the board, and I'd like to address that and make sure that things are treated uniformly at those levels.
Does that mean you're opposed to mass incarceration and realignment offers a solution?
Yes, I think that for the last 20 years under Jan Scully's administration, because there were rooms in the prisons and jails, you could err on the side of saying, I'm going to put people in custody. When in doubt, just incarcerate. Now that can no longer be true. You don't have the room for the people who really deserve to be there, the ones who victimize people, the ones that I think of as a priority. And so you really have to be smarter and more efficient about the people that you decide you want to put in prison.
Will you say more about this? I've heard you use the phrase seismic shift in low-level offenders. What does that mean?
Well, I think that everyone was really tired of crime rates and the explosion of crime in the early 90s when I first started practicing criminal law. And so they really didn't want rehabilitation. Now I think voters, at least from what I've been hearing and talking to people in community events, are tired of that approach. They really want to get at some form of rehabilitation, some type of program to get people off of drugs, to get them working, to get them to be productive members of society. And in many cases, we know what the causes of crime are. We know it's lack of education, lack of job skills, lack of employment. And that's really what I want to try to do is use the tools in the criminal justice system to reward people who engage in positive behaviors instead of just punishing them for negative behaviors.
What have you seen that works? And I don't mean just an idea or a good theory. I mean cite examples where you see there have been results from some kind of program or rehabilitation effort.
I think that the Veterans Treatment Court in Placer County, they've established one there. They're way ahead of our county, which is interesting. That really works. These are people who come back and frequently are self-medicating because of things that they've seen during their service. That really works. I've observed drug courts, and I think those also work, and diversionary programs can really work too, provided that the person is sufficiently motivated. And I know that is one of the big things, but you really have to have an offender who's motivated to get off the drugs. And these programs, the encouragement that you see in the drug courts where they're trying to push each other, they really seem to work, but they need more emphasis.
I mentioned that you were 13 years in the Sacramento County DA's office, and I believe you were selected as Prosecutor of the Year in one of those years. So there was part of that tenure that you embraced and shaped you and that you learned from. What good was happening in the office at that time?
I can honestly say that one of the reasons why I'm seeking this office is because I have a tremendous amount of affection for the office in general, the personnel in the office, people who are still there. I enjoyed my time there, and you're correct. I was honored to be selected by my peers as Prosecutor of the Year very early in my career. I think what really worked was the feeling of camaraderie among the people that I worked with in the child molest and child abuse and homicide units. We were a team. We covered for each other. We made sure that if someone was in trial, that cases were covered. And that's an environment that's existed for as long as I can remember, and I would still want to foster it. I've frequently said that one of the other candidates, Anne-Marie Schubert, and I were teammates. So I feel a tremendous sense of respect and friendship for her. Our differences are in policy only in terms of approach, but that's the best part about the DA's office, that friendship and camaraderie.
Why did you leave?
I had really gotten to the point where I was at a level where either I was going to be making policy determinations or I was just going to be following orders. And quite frankly, I didn't like the direction I saw the office going. That's why I became a federal prosecutor. I wanted to have more say in terms of the very things I'm talking about in this campaign. I thought we were overemphasizing low-level and first-time offenders. Ironically, what ends up happening is that the newest attorneys think that they have the biggest cases when, in fact, they have the least significant cases. And it takes time, experience, and judgment to realize that you really have to dial back their aggressiveness early on. The aggressiveness only comes in later when you're handling homicides and rapes and child molest cases. So you really have to temper the worst instincts that new lawyers bring to the table. And I didn't see that happening. I saw
the
people,
mentoring.
Right. Mm. People thought the way I get ahead is to be the most aggressive at the lowest level. And I think that's backwards.
You're listening to former county and federal prosecutor Todd Laris, a candidate for Sacramento County District Attorney. He has been endorsed by former California Supreme Court Justice Cruz Reynoso, the Latino Democrats of Sacramento County, the Sacramento County Veterans Democratic Club, and many more similar groups. I want to go through some of the key issues, and you can give me fast responses on these. The death penalty right now is the law. Will you follow it?
I will follow it, although I think that system is broken.
You do oppose it personally.
I do personally.
Should juveniles be tried as adults?
Well, the law requires many of them be tried as adults, but where there's discretion, that discretion needs to be used very carefully and only when appropriate.
Discretion is a word you use a lot in all caps. Why?
Because that's the main thing that a district attorney has to do. I just touched on that, that the newer people who haven't developed the judgment and experience yet are the ones who don't have it. And so I think it's important for people in a position like mine where you've got a little bit of gray hair to give them the benefit of knowing when someone is truly bad.
All right, let's talk about low-level offenders, specifically with drug possession, for example, and the word wobbler is sometimes used.
Yes.
Will you give some context, explain there your position?
Wobbler is a case that can be tried either, charged either as a felony or a misdemeanor. Some offenses, like possession of raw cocaine, can never be tried as a misdemeanor, while methamphetamine can be tried as either one. It can be charged either way. That's what that's all about, is the DA having discretion about how to charge something, which can frequently be the most important decision that's made.
And you want that discretion to stay?
I actually would like to see the discretion expanded. For example, with raw cocaine, I think that since we allow methamphetamine to be treated as a misdemeanor, we should let raw cocaine be treated similarly.
Okay, just about a minute for a couple questions. If you become DA, what's your commitment to investigating officer-involved shootings and political corruption, which seems to be a gap in the office right now?
That's a huge emphasis for me. First of all, I think officer-involved shootings need to be evaluated fairly, without a prejudice, one way or the other. There's been a criticism that the DA's office currently looks to just justify every shooting, and the community has been outraged about that when I've talked to them. Political corruption needs to be fully investigated. We know it's here. We're seeing it in the Senate right now. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be done regardless of the political party of the person who commits the offense.
You've criticized the DA's office because of racial diversity or the lack of in its prosecutors. If you change the diversity of the prosecutors, is that a ripple effect that is powerful in the system?
I think so. It's always remarkable to see the reaction of defendants. What comes to mind immediately, just a quick story about that, is seeing Jimmy Long, who's an African-American judge, disclosing in a murder case I did early on that he lived in the house next door to where the crime had occurred. And the witnesses said, wow, did you hear that? The judge is from the neighborhood. It made a huge difference in terms of feeling that justice is being done.
Okay, Todd, a last question. If this grassroots campaign that you've launched doesn't work, do you see yourself trying it again with more resources in a different way in 4 years?
I won't be handicapped by a late start, so I could see that potential occurring.
Yeah, for the record, you're nodding emphatically yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you so
much. Good to have you here in the studio today. Todd Laris is a former Sacramento County and federal prosecutor. Once again, if you haven't mailed your ballot and you're registered to vote, primary election day in California is June 3rd. We have a lot more election information about all the races at capradio.org/election2014. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Tuesday, June 3rd is primary election day in California. Did you mail your ballot or will you go to the polls? The most competitive local race is between the three candidates for Sacramento County District Attorney. They are former county and federal prosecutor Todd Laris, Deputy District Attorney Anne-Marie Schubert, Deputy Attorney General for the State of California Maggie Krell. We are posting an online comparison of the candidates' positions on some of the issues. That includes realignment, sentencing of low-level offenders, and more. But for now, we're going to continue our one-on-one conversations with each. And by draw of the straw, the candidate in the studio with me now is Anne-Marie Schubert. Hi, welcome to Insight.
Thank you very much.
So, Anne-Marie, you're considered that establishment candidate. And with the endorsement of Jan Scully and much of the local law enforcement community, isn't this race yours to lose?
Well, I think the race is about who's the most qualified candidate in the race, and I feel comfortable saying that that's me. So does that put pressure on me because I have so much experience and I have tremendous support? Absolutely. But I believe very strongly that the citizens of this community deserve the most qualified person.
In describing your experience, you talk about the 100 jury trials,
right.
A lot of time in the courtroom. There have been studies that continue to come out, one published Sunday in an editorial page in the New York Times about mass incarceration.
Sure.
And that the debate about it is somewhere along the lines of the debate about climate change, that studies seem to show that it's not working for us as a society, but that there's an uncertainty about whether to believe the studies or not.
Well, I think the most important thing as a prosecutor is that we have an obligation. If a crime is committed, to prosecute it. Are there ways that we can prevent it in the first place? Yes. But in my experience, my 100 trials, the overwhelming majority were felony trials. And really, for the last 17 years or so, it's been violent crime, which is murder cases, sexual assault, child mm-hmm. abuse, domestic violence, those types of cases. And we're never going to stop prosecuting those cases. Does that result in incarceration? Absolutely, if they're convicted. Are there more things we can do on the front end so that we can change and we can get to the root of these issues more? As prosecutors, I believe that our role is changing in a good way. And our office does a lot of prevention work, but I also believe we can do more.
But I've heard you put prosecution before prevention, correct?
Well, that's the historical role of a prosecutor's office. We have an obligation to protect the community. And when somebody has harmed a victim of a crime, it's our obligation, and that will never change for me. I am always going to stand up for that victim and make sure that their wrong has been remedied. And that may come in the form of a prison sentence. It may not. It may come as alternative sentencing, which we do a tremendous amount of now.
I think the question raised and the debate is if the focus shifts to prevention, then is there less need for prosecution? And my question is, as a person, are you just wired for this job as prosecution?
And if I'm wired for all of it. I think the best part for me, if you look at my background, okay, I'm good at what I do. I have prosecuted lots of different types of crimes, but I'm also very good at recognizing the needs of this community. And the best example is, 4 years ago, I started a nationally recognized truancy intervention program, not because I thought, oh, my goodness, I'll run for DA someday. We should focus on prevention. But because I recognized in the unit that I was in that the pipeline to prison is truancy. And we need to intervene, and the DA's office can take a role. And we did that 4 years ago, and we were nationally recognized because we partnered with people we don't normally partner with, the court system, the public defender's office, the Department of Human Assistance, and it has been tremendously successful.
It is a more specialized office now with a number of courts, a number of departments.
Yes.
So partnerships are necessary, aren't they?
And absolutely. We do it all the time. We have, I mean, I can go through it all if you want me to, but we have tremendous, I know I won't, but we have tremendous programs that we have in place to not only divert people out of the system, but we also obviously prosecute individuals who commit crime.
You've talked openly about who you are on the campaign trail, being a woman, being openly gay, and your brother is Frank Schubert, and he's the strategist behind Prop 8.
Right.
And that's an issue for a lot of people. How much do you think that's influencing voters?
Well, I think people need to recognize, you know, am I comfortable being gay? Absolutely. Do I love my brother? Yes, I do. Do I agree with him on that issue? Absolutely not. But that doesn't change what this race is about, which is who is the most qualified candidate to be the district attorney for all people, not for one particular group or another group. I am the candidate for everyone, and that's what I'm really the most proudest of. I don't have a problem talking about my personal life because people think it's somehow it's interesting, but it really is not relevant to who's the most qualified.
I think people wonder how your dinner table discussions are.
Well, you know what? It's everybody in their families have issues. It doesn't mean I stop loving my brother. It doesn't mean I agree with him either.
Let's talk about a question that's come up in different settings, and that is whether the DA's office should be prosecuting police officer-involved shootings and political corruption cases. I've heard you answer that you're going to advocate for more done in these areas,
sure,
and also that there is already a special investigation unit. It raised the question for me, why aren't those things done already? Why isn't there already a crime lab at a police officer shooting site? Why are those things that you will need to implement if you become DA?
Well, if you remember historically, our office suffered pretty significant budget cuts in 2008, 2009, and I believe it was at that time that Jan Scully curtailed our involvement because of the budget cuts. I believe it's necessary to fully restaff all of that. So right now we have an attorney that reviews those. But I also want to go farther and reengage our own investigators. And I also want to engage our crime laboratory. We have one of the greatest crime laboratories in the country. And we did this a couple days ago. There was an officer-involved shooting out in Citrus Heights. We sent the crime laboratory staff out there. And that is good because it gives that oversight that the public wants as well as law enforcement.
Are you hearing the very loud cry from the community that you make this more of a priority than it's been?
Oh, absolutely. I don't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah. I'm talking with Deputy District Attorney Anne Marie Schubert. She's one of three candidates for Sacramento County District Attorney. She has been endorsed by, we already mentioned, the current DA Jan Scully, also Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones, every police association in the county, a long list of law enforcement leaders. You have raised, I think it's over $650,000 in this race now.
Yes.
What number did you think was going to be needed in your mind jumping into this campaign?
Whatever it takes to get your message out. I mean, I, you know, this is a new thing for me. I'm not a politician. I don't really ever want to be one, but I'm going to do what it takes. And so, you know, at the outset, my consultant said, oh, you need to raise $1 million. And I was shocked at that number. But, you know, this is what I'm very proud of is I would bet you that the majority of the money raised is from people here in Sacramento County.
And if the race goes to November, that $1 million figure could even be topped.
Oh, I'm sure that's true.
So let's go through some of the key issues.
Sure.
And you can give me quick responses if you want. How important is the death penalty as an option for juries?
I think it's, I mean, I support it, and I believe juries should have an option. I think if somebody walked onto a school campus today or walked into a downtown theater and decided to execute 22 people at random, it should be an option. The voters of California support it, but I absolutely believe it needs to be fixed, and I don't have any problem being part of that.
All right, let's talk about juveniles being tried as adults. What should happen there? And I've also heard you say that Sacramento County is grossly unfunded in this area.
Well, our juvenile justice system, there's no question it's grossly underfunded. Our boys' ranch was closed. We no longer have what's called the WET Center. So there's very little options. And there's also very high needs. And unfortunately, probation has been cut as well. And what that relates to is that then there's a lack of supervision, and it's not the fault of probation at all. And so we need to address that on the front end and trying to get more funding for that, because Sacramento County, as far as I know, is the only urban county that does not have a long-term detention facility for juveniles. Mm-hmm. And that's challenging. And we have very serious crimes. There's a number of issues that relate to juvenile justice, high suspension rates, high truancy rates. So there's a whole systemic thing that you have to address. And then you have some juveniles, unfortunately, that commit very, very serious crimes.
And need to be tried as adults.
Well, yes, the overwhelming percentage are rapists, murderers, violent assaults.
All right, let's go the other way. Low-level offenders, drug possession, for example. A wobbler case, which
sure.
you can define if you want to. How much discretion needs to be in place?
I think it's important at this point in our society to have a frank discussion about why some drug offenses are wobblers and some are not. And I don't have a problem being a leader on that. Why is methamphetamine a wobbler as opposed to crack cocaine? And I think, I believe in fairness across the system.
Okay, let's go real quickly. Is realignment a good solution?
I think there's noble parts to realignment, but again, it's grossly underfunded, and I think there's some very significant failures where we're not really protecting the community, and we now have much more serious and violent offenders out there.
Why hasn't recruiting produced a more diverse staff in the DA's office so far?
Well, that's a national issue. I mean, if you look at the statistics in, like, law schools, I'll give you an example. We have 5 African-American lawyers. In 2012, I believe it was, Lincoln Law School only had 3. And so it creates an issue. Is there more? We have a diversity reception.
So is
it
the pool of candidates
the recruiting? It's not the recruiting. It's
okay.
The pool of candidates.
Okay. I've heard you say crime is prosecuted on the basis of the crime and not race in the
right.
courtroom.
That's
really?
True.
Really?
Absolutely.
There's such an outcry from the public saying that there's racial disparity in the courtroom, partly because of the prosecutor issue.
No, I absolutely disagree with you. I think there's racial disparities in the incarceration problem. Yes, I think if you go out to a prison, that's a reality that you see the minute you walk into that prison system. And those are systemic issues that we need to face as a community and as a state to try to get to those. But we prosecute crime based upon the conduct.
Human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a priority are you willing to make it?
Just as much as we do right now. We have a dedicated prosecutor. We take it very seriously. I think tomorrow you're going to hear a press conference about the more things we're doing already. We have a tremendous effort. We routinely have state prison sentences at a given time. We have an expert on human trafficking in our office.
Okay, one more question. Voter turnout is supposed to be very low. You know that,
sure.
And that's historic. How discouraging is it to run and invest the way you have on all the different levels and know that people just might not vote?
Well, I think this is an important election, and people need to be engaged. I mean, this is historic, and that's how people exercise their right to choose, and I encourage people to get out and vote. It matters.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thank
Good
you.
To have you here in
Thank
the studio.
Thank you very much.
It's Anne-Marie Schubert. She's the current Sacramento County Deputy District Attorney. The top 2 vote-getters on that June 3rd primary election will advance to the November ballot unless someone receives more than 50% of the votes, and then that person will automatically win. There's more election information at capradio.org/election2014. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. 20 years ago, when Sacramento County voters last chose a district attorney, Joe Cerna was the mayor of the city, and there were 300,000 fewer people living in the county. The new millennium hadn't even begun then. But there's no term limit on the DA's office, and since 1994, Jan Scully ran unopposed and was continually reelected. This year, with Jan Scully retiring, the baton will be passed to one of 3 candidates, current Deputy District Attorney Anne-Marie Schubert, current Deputy Attorney General for the State of California, Maggie Krell, or former Sacramento County and federal prosecutor Todd Laris. And now joining me for the final conversation today is Maggie Krell. Hi, welcome. Welcome to Insight.
Hi, good morning.
So you're calling yourself this new leadership candidate,
yes.
And it makes me think the reverse. Is the best thing you have going for you the fact that you aren't from the Sacramento County DA's office and you weren't groomed under Jan Scully?
I don't know if that's the best thing I have going for me. I think the best thing that I have going for me is my breadth of experience, my ability to lead the office in a new direction, and my vision for how Sacramento County can move forward.
A vision for looking forward is important. I've heard you say that until you campaigned, you didn't realize how, this is your quote, bad it really was out there. What did you see? What is the how bad it is?
Well, I don't know if I've actually put it in those terms, but I mean, as a candidate for district attorney, you learn a whole lot about your community that, you know, you didn't know before. And I've talked to many different community groups as well as people in the inside of the courthouse where I've done some cases, but a lot of my cases have been in other counties as well. And the things I've learned really have just given me ideas for how we can do things better.
Because you've been in other counties trying cases and seeing the systems, how does Sacramento County look to you on the scale from functioning well to broken?
I would describe it not as broken, but as stagnant, as an office that really needs a refresh and a fresh vision and a forward-thinking vision. And, you know, I think there's different issues that we could rank them on in different categories. But I really think across the board, we need to do a top-to-bottom review of the office and figure out how we can, A, be as efficient as possible within the office with the staffing that we have, and B, how we can impact the community in a profound way and in a way that truly moves us forward and gets offenders back on track.
Quite a bit of your work at the state level involves leadership in the efforts on human trafficking, sex trafficking, and it's an emphasis at the state. It's had a different priority at the county level, and how much do you think you're going to be able to prioritize it higher than it is right now if you become DA?
I will absolutely prioritize it if I become district attorney. I think it's a really important issue, and it you know, I find it totally gut-wrenching that the most vulnerable girls and young women in our society are victimized in the sex trade here in Sacramento and everywhere else. And these are really girls that lack a safety net. A lot of these are kids that run away from home, kids that run away from group homes, kids that get mixed up into the juvenile justice system.
So does that mean more officers on the street focused on this? Does it mean more preventative efforts? What do you do at a local level?
What I've laid out, you know, I did a press conference on this a few months ago and laid out a plan that combines several different tactics to address the problem. Probably the most important one is creating a safety net where the DA's office will literally sit down weekly with the agencies that have contact with kids that are at risk of being sexually exploited. Actually sit down and go file by file and identify the kids that are at risk and come up with a short-term and long-term solution for them. So these are kids that are known runaways, kids that are in juvenile hall, maybe for, you know, shoplifting a toothbrush at 2 a.m. right off Stockton Boulevard. Things that are signs, that are signals to us that these kids are at risk of being sexually exploited if they haven't already been sexually exploited. And then taking these kids and really looking for solutions other than incarceration, prosecution, you know, getting them further into the sex trade.
Let's talk about campaigning. In some of the latest rounds of ads, you're being called in a TV ad unethical. The Sacramento Bee did a review of one of the mailers and said some of the information was misrepresented. Have things like this hurt your campaign?
I don't know what the impact of this is. I saw the article in the Bee today that you know, said that the ad that was placed on TV by Schubert's campaign, that was misleading. You know, I found it to be grossly misleading, and you know, to try and say that the Bee said that I'm unethical when really someone close to her campaign made that accusation at me that wasn't founded. You know, I think that's wrong. It's inaccurate. I hope voters see through that. In terms of my campaign, we have a really positive campaign. I like talking about my background, my leadership abilities. I'm proud of my record. I have the experience to do the job. I have a tremendous amount of support from leaders at all levels. And, you know, that's what the campaign is focused on. And that's what I'm hoping voters will focus on as well.
I think I read that your campaign manager at one point said they didn't think you had a snowball's chance at running for this office. Now you've raised almost $500,000. And how would you characterize the momentum that you feel?
It's incredible. I mean, we have an incredible amount of momentum at this point. We're doing so well. And it's just such an honor for me to have the support of such a broad range of folks in the community, from the Probation Officers Association and the Sacramento County of Law Enforcement Alliance to, you know, my neighbors and people I've known a long time, to many of the community groups that I've just met, you know, over the last couple months, to statewide leaders like my boss, Attorney General Kamala Harris, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and for the governor himself, who, as I hear, rarely gets involved in local races. To have him endorse me, it's an incredible honor, and I think I'm well positioned to win.
You're listening to Maggie Krell. She is Deputy Attorney General for the state of California. And how did you get the governor's endorsement, by the way? How did that happen?
I think the governor's was attorney general, and I worked under him when I was a deputy attorney general. He, reviewed my campaign. He reviewed my background and found that I was ready for the job. And that's what he said when he endorsed me.
So let's go through some of the key issues and be specific on them. And if you want to give me a fast response, that's okay, too. Talk about your stand on the death penalty.
I believe in the death penalty for the most serious of murderers. And I've prosecuted death penalties in my career, and I'll give the death penalty cases the grave consideration that they merit if I'm elected district attorney.
Trying juveniles as adults, when and why is it important?
I'm not in favor of trying juveniles as adults except for in the most extreme cases. In my experience, teenagers and kids don't have the same ability to make decisions as grown-ups do, and sometimes are more likely to make mistakes. They also are more likely to be amenable to treatment and rehabilitation, and that's really the focus of the juvenile justice system. So to the extent that we can keep kids in the kids system, that's much better than prosecuting them as adults.
Low-level offenders, drug possession, for example, and we talk about a wobbler, if you want to explain that, and where are you on that situation?
Yeah, a wobbler is a crime that can be charged either as a misdemeanor or a felony. It gives district attorneys the discretion to charge it either way. I think the most important thing, no matter how it's charged, is that we really commit to rehabilitating these offenders. I've said many times during this campaign, our goal should be to make the first offense the last offense. Right now, recidivism rates are over 50%, and that's the rate that somebody repeats their offense. And in some studies, I've seen it as high as 70%. That's bad. That's a fail rate for us. As prosecutors, we need to make sure not that we just get a hard sentence, but that we get a sentence that's smart, that curtails criminal behavior and points people on a path to a more productive life.
So a program that follows them once they're back out in the community.
Yes.
Is realignment a good solution?
Yes.
Another option in alternative sentencing that you would prioritize, give me an example of what else is out there that you think is a good idea.
I'm a proponent of, there's several different things we can do under realignment. One is to shift more money to the probation department so that they can supervise offenders in the community rather than the sheriff's department, who mainly incarcerates offenders. We've heard a lot about mass incarceration and over-incarceration of certain communities. The way that we move away from that as a society is to offer solutions in the community so that we're not so dependent on incarceration. So that's the shift I want to see. In terms of a particular program, I'd really like to try a pre-charging diversion program where somebody who commits the least serious of offenses that might not even be charged by this DA's office, instead of waiting till they commit a more serious offense that does get charged by the DA's office, I would like to do a pre-charging diversion where we send them a letter, explaining the police report and the charges that could be filed against them. We ask them to undergo some treatment or some community service or whatever is merited by the conduct. We have them pay a restitution fine, depending on what's happened, and we see if we can curb their behavior before they even get into the criminal justice system.
All right, two last questions, Maggie. You have said there's an over-incarceration, to pick up on that, of minorities in particular. Does the solution begin with more diversity in the DA's office? Is that critical?
I think that's part of it. I think that, communities of color need to see role models that are, successful in a wide variety of different positions. The DA's office is one, law enforcement as well as in other fields. I mean, if kids grow up thinking that, their parents, their brothers, their uncles are incarcerated, that's the role model they see.
Okay. Do you have a commitment to investigating officer-involved shootings and political corruption cases?
Yes.
Okay. And if not this time, would you consider running again for DA in Sacramento?
I'm working on this time. June 3rd, I encourage everyone to vote. I'd be honored to have your support if you're listening right now. And I think next Tuesday is going to be a great day.
Okay. Fairly said. Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks.
Maggie Krell is the current Deputy Attorney General for the state of California. Primary election day is June 3rd. If no one gets more than 50% of the vote, the top two candidates will move on to the November ballot. There's more election information at capradio.org/election2014. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio.